السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. لدي ما شاء الله the most merciful and the most benefit sisters and brothers. It gives me great honor and pleasure when I find you next to you, and I find my children next to you, and find this opportunity to convey the message in a few words in order to help each other to understand Islam. Every creation, big or small, has been brought into existence bound by strict rules and laws by its creator. The fact of the matter is that these very rules and laws are equivalent to the deen, to the religion, to the dharma chosen by the creator for each and every creation. All creation, animate or otherwise, has no option but to fall in line with the set supreme rules and laws of creation. Man is singularly the only creation which is given limited freedom of choice, although most of his nature is also bound by predetermined rules and laws. This limited freedom of choice itself throws up the fundamental necessity for man to be educated in those rules and laws which ensure peace and prosperity for himself within and without. It would be a folly to believe that the loving Creator left his choicest creation, man, to wander in darkness and end up in loss. To accomplish this education, the Creator chose the dual media, the messengers and the books. His books conveyed the letters, words of Lord, and the messengers demonstrated the spirit of those words in practical life. Indisputably, the first man created by the Lord was Adam. Before the advent of Adam, on the one hand, the Lord prepared the entire universe as a stage to meet the most diverse and minutest material needs of man. And on the other hand, he made the first man, Adam, the first messenger to meet his spiritual needs. It is the admirable way of the loving Lord not to delay any fundamental need of any of his creation. The progeny of Adam dispersed in various congenial places on the globe. The Lord provided for all the material needs there. Language changed, and so did the messengers who were chosen from the local community. What did not change was the message, the supreme rules and laws, the deen, the dharma. The Lord himself made minor changes in the process of fulfilling those divine rules and laws. A prominent trait of human psyche is that some persons do accept the visions of the messenger and try to emulate him. But with the passage of time, his guidance, teachings, and preachings wane off. What is erroneously substituted is hero worship of the messenger while totally ignoring his real teachings. These blind followers of the messenger kill and die in his name, but care little to associate themselves with his teachings and preachings. I repeat, these blind followers of the messenger kill and die in his name, but care little to associate themselves with his real teachings and preachings. To enliven the forgotten divine rules and laws, new messengers are sent. They try their best to bring back the people to the path of the earlier messenger, whom they almost worship, but did not care to follow their teachings. Precisely because of this human trait, history is replete with examples where most of the followers of the previous messenger show resistance, inertia, and disbelieve the new messenger and reformer. They obstruct him, persecute him, and try to eliminate him, unmindful that this new messenger is their benefactor, their friend, philosopher, and guide. The beads of this rosary of history, which began with Adam and Nuh, and continued through Ibrahim alayhi salam, Dawood, David, Suleiman, Solomon, Idris, Musa, Moses, Isa, Jesus Christ, and many more, down to the last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result, a very unnatural situation arose in the world where each community believed that their faith was the only divine true religion. As a result, I'm repeating this sentence, a very unnatural situation arose in the world where each community believed that their faith was the only divine true religion. There has not been any single factor which has shed any spilt more human blood than religion. Men are oblivious to the basic fact that messengers brought identically the same religion, guided from the same source, the same one Lord. In fact, it is imperative to say that they could not bring different religions. An unbiased dissection of human history and psychologies of communities show that religion was not the real reason for the chaos and bloodshed. Religion was being misused as a camouflage by men who wanted to preserve their superiority over others. The Lord, by way of test and trial, gave something more to one community over the other. Be it economic, intellectual, physical, or the like. The community now believed this as a special favor which was its right and thus encroached upon the dominion of their Lord. They tried to subdue other communities to worshipping them by power or pressure rather than their Lord. All oppression, injustice and bloodshed is the direct result of man's transgression into the dominion of his creator. On the one hand, there are men, communities and nations who gave themselves the position of God and subjected other men to worshipping them. On the other hand, there are men, communities and nations who have accepted the position of becoming worshippers. This manifestation of one class of men assuming to be God and another class to accepting to worship the former is the root cause of all inequities. In fact, the worshipper relinquishes his dignity and freedom and the worshipped snatch it away. The primary aim of every prophet was to cleanse the society of all oppression and injustice. This was just not possible without removing the root evil of shirk, that is, to associate partners to God. Unity of creation and worship is the only way to achieve complete harmony with nature. World history bears testimony to the reality that whenever and wherever peace and justice prevailed, it was solely because of Tawheed, that is, oneness of the Creator and His worship. Passing through the different eras that have been witnessed on this globe, there came a time, somewhere in the 6th century of the Christian calendar, when mankind touched the rock bottom of incivility, barbarism, and oppression. At the same time, it touched the pinnacle of opportunity to address the whole world. Human mind had matured to grasp the knowledge about his Creator, as distinguished from all previous messengers who came to redress a certain part of the world. There was now receptivity of the whole world for a complete and uniform word of the Lord. This was the crucial moment which changed the course of the world for all times to come. An orphan child took birth in Arabia, the geographical center of the globe, who was destined to be the final guide to the fledgling mankind. He was none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the benefactor of humanity. The world inherited by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was steeped in superstitions, barbarism, exploitation, oppression and terrorism. Consequently, the world was disintegrating into the fragments. This final guide for the human race was chosen by his Lord to present a modern world of peace, justice, tranquility, equality, liberty, fraternity, unity, and all that stands for prosperity of mankind. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam placed three fundamental beliefs before all men. First, unity of God, and that none other than Him is worthy of worship as He is the sole creator, sustainer and destroyer. Two, unity of mankind, that all humans are children of one single parent. All distinction of caste, color and creed was distinguished to place the entire mankind on a uniform platform. Three, unity of the message, the deen, the dharma. As the creator of all mankind is one, and as the human race are the progeny of one parent, it was but natural that the divine rules and laws governing fundamental questions were the same for all humanity. All men share the same destiny of reward and punishment in the life hereafter. The second task at hand for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was to integrate a world which was otherwise falling apart. The sole reason for this disintegration was shirk, that is to give away the tawheed. This would inevitably bind all men, communities and nations to a single motive, that is the worship of the Creator and service to fellow humans. Liberty, equality and fraternity are the cornerstones of almost all modern constitutions of the world. These were indeed an integral part of the teachings of all prophets and messengers. The final seal of prophethood was placed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the one who perfected the teachings of previous messengers. I repeat, he was the one who perfected the teachings of previous messengers. He confirmed, fortified and purified them. There came a day in the life of Muhammad when the Lord addressed the entire mankind and said, "This day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favors upon you, and have chosen Al-Islam, it means total surrender, as your deen. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena." In Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Lord gave a perfect model to be emulated by all men, communities and nations. It was the most practical and feasible way of life that could be cast upon the fragile shoulders of Muhammad's Ummah. As the topic of my talk is understanding Islam, it would be best to ask God Himself through His book and ask Muhammad through His ways of life as to what were the main aims of His coming. I quote some ayahs of Quran and some hadith of Muhammad and try to explain them. I cut short my speech and conclude that the conclusion and the result is, in a span of 23 years, a man was reformed and communities were transformed. The catalyst which brought about a sea change in the entire outlook of the whole world was none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There came into existence a world beyond recognition, where virtues of individual and collective accountability reached the pinnacle, principles of secularism reached its zenith, human dignity and human rights flourished to its full bloom, peace, justice, tranquility, harmony, equality, liberty, fraternity, unity, and much more was given to the world. These teachings would last till the day of judgment. Very unfortunately, a large majority of its followers are lacking in perception and understanding of his teachings. Let us all work to revive and relive his teachings. This would be the greatest service to the ailing human family. Thank you very much.
The purpose of the talk was to set the context and provide everyone with an insight to the philosophy of underpinning the faith. I think the Sheikh passionately discussed the history of Islam, how Islam origins, and the whole purpose for us now is to use that as a basis for discussion and to start looking at questions that you face in the workplace and when working with Muslim colleagues. So I previously discussed the whole purpose of the speech was to set the context, was to provide you an insight of the philosophy and the strategy underpinning